Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Mike Nice, hosted by Lyrical Forte. You're listening to Mike Nice, hosted by Lyrical Forte.
Join us every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com/Mike Nice. Catch us streaming on Facebook Live and Periscope. Just look up Lyrical Forte. You can also call in to just listen, make the mic nice, or get in on the discussion. Please, no vulgar or offensive language. Thank you. Would you like to be a guest host? Are you looking for exposure? A promo? Send your inquiry to lyricalforte@live.com.
You're listening to Mike Nice, hosted by Lyrical Forte.
Language. Thank you.
You're listening to Mike Nice, hosted by Lyrical Forte. You're listening to Mike Nice, hosted by Lyrical Forte.
Yeah, that's right. I'm your host for Mike Nice, Lyrical Forte. And, man, I appreciate y'all coming through here again. Another great Tuesday here on Mike Nice. And I'm actually really excited about today's show, man. But before we get started, I want to let you know a little Black history. On this day, in 1966, James Meredith, wounded by a white sniper as he walked along the U.S. Highway 51 near Hernando, Mississippi. On the second day of the 220-mile voter registration march from Memphis to Jackson, Mississippi. The march was continued on June the 7th by Martin Luther King Jr., Floyd McKenzie, Stokely Carmichael, and other civil rights workers. It ended on June the 26th with a rally of some 30,000 at Mississippi State Capitol. During the three-week march, Carmichael launched the Black Power Movement. And that is your Black History fact for today. Again, man, I appreciate each and every one of you tuned in. I'm really excited about today's show, as you see on the screen. And where I've been posting all day on Facebook and stuff, I've been asking the question, where do you draw the line in your poetry or your comedy? And I know many of you have heard about the latest news about what's been going on as far as Kathy Griffin, as well as Bill Maher on his show this past weekend, the things that were said. And I thought about, you know, comedy and how it also, how comedy and poetry goes hand in hand because of the things that are talked about and discussed in both art forms sometimes can be very problematic in ways, or not so much, not necessarily just problematic, but can also kind of ruffle feathers or kind of bring up a discussion. So I wanted to talk about, for you, is there a line that you draw when it comes to poetry and comedy? And before we get things started, I just want to play a sound clip. It's about 7-8 minutes long, and I want to just play it about, you know, the things that's been going on and get your take in on the discussion. And as always, man, right now, if you're listening in, make sure that you share this video right now. We're broadcasting live on Facebook, Periscope, as well as blogtalkradio.com. And if you would like to get in on the discussion or just listen to the show via phone, just call in. The call-in number is 646-668-8072. Again, it's 646-668-8072, and press the one button and you will be put on the line shortly after. Not necessarily shortly after, but we'll get you on the line sometime. So make sure you call in. I definitely want to get people in this discussion. And if you know some poets, if you know some comedians, definitely tag them in this and let them know that what we're talking about, what we're discussing, because I definitely want to get as many people's intake on it as possible. But just listen to this clip, and hey, I'll be right back. And again, thank you for listening to Mike Nice.
Man, comics have this great power to me, which is what you just touched on, to be brutally honest, to be so. Is there, and I ask a lot of comedians this because I kind of admire it, is there a line that you won't cross? Is there even a boundary?
I don't know that I would say is there a line that I wouldn't cross? I don't know, because in comedy comes out of pain.
Right.
Comedy comes out of so many things that we think it just comes out, you know. But I just think there are certain people you don't touch, like you wouldn't touch like Ali.
Being here, thinking about this election cycle and the rise of Trump, or Sarah Palin's condemnation of Paul Ryan, or whatever it is,
yeah,
are there limits to comedy, the effect that it can have, and are there certain topics that are off limits to political satire?
To the first, no topic is off limits unless you've got one that you'd like to toss out there, because no topics are off limits to life, and I'm still waiting for someone to ask that question to a politician instead of a comic. Because all I ever hear is people always say, where's the line? And they always ask comedians, where's the line? But very rarely do they say to presidents and senators, where's the line? Which bomb would be the line? So it's always interesting to me that people think comedians somehow are the ones that go against, you know, push human nature too far. But the actions of our government are somehow we all just kind of accept it.
Kathy Griffin just got herself in a hell of a lot of trouble. As a comic, as a writer, as a comedian, as a performer, what do you think of that, and should people forgive her?
I see that everybody's a hypocrite because everybody's imagined themselves standing there with his head. You know what I mean? I mean, maybe at least half the country. You know, we're in a tough spot. It's a very, very divided world, and those on I guess you'd call it the left side, I just call it the sensible side, is, you know, we're sitting there watching this nonsense happen, and people like Sean Spicer come out and talk about it like we're kindergartners, you know, and covering for this president is like putting makeup on a melanoma. And not only unsightly, but it's dangerous.
Now to the growing outrage here at home over the racial slur on a live television show. Talk show host Bill Maher using a derogatory, highly charged racial expression in conversation with a Republican Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska. Now that senator facing heat for what he didn't say. Maher's apology tonight and his employer, the HBO network, weighing in as the calls to fire him are growing. Here's ABC's Ron Claiborne.
Tonight, the aftershocks of the racial slur said on live TV. In the middle of a seemingly harmless exchange between Bill Maher and Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse.
You got to get to Nebraska more. You're welcome. We'd love to have you work in the fields with us. Work in the fields?
That's part of that.
Senator, I'm a house. No, it's a joke.
A torrent of criticism was unleashed at the comedian whose brand is being politically acerbic and outrageous. DeRay McKesson, a Black Lives Matter activist, tweeting, Bill Maher has got to go. There's no explanations that make this acceptable. Tara Settmeyer, a political analyst, is a frequent guest on Maher's shows.
I think it was an unfortunate remark and that he thought would be a funny joke that went wrong on the fly, and it was inappropriate. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, did he just say that?
HBO rebroadcast the show before pulling it from the air. In a statement, the cable network said, Bill Maher's comment last night was completely inexcusable and tasteless. And today from Sasse, a Republican who in the past has criticized some of President Trump's more incendiary tweets, he said he now wishes he had said, hold up. Why would you think it's okay to use that word? Maher releasing this written statement of apology. Friday nights are always my worst night of sleep because I'm up reflecting on the things I should or shouldn't have said on my live show. Last night was a particularly long night, as I regret the word I used in the banter of a live moment. The word was offensive, and I regret saying it, and I'm very sorry.
And Ron Claiborne joins us now. Ron, Bill Maher apologizing there, but this is not the first time Maher's gotten into trouble for saying something controversial on the air.
That's right, Tom. Remember, just after 9/11, he accused the U.S., the military, of being cowardly in launching attacks on the Taliban in Afghanistan. About 9 months later, his show, then politically incorrect, aptly named, was canceled. So far, HBO condemning his words, but he has not been suspended or fired. So far, Tom.
Yeah, so many talking about this story tonight as well. All right, Ron, thanks so much.
You know all about the Bill Maher and Kathy Griffin situation.
Yeah.
Do you think comedians have a license to say anything?
Or do anything? No. No. You know, I curb myself. I curb myself now simply because it's a different day and time. You know, and you can play the freedom of speech thing all you want. We can play the we're comedians, it's a joke thing all you want. Ultimately, we know what we're saying, and you know the backlash that can come from it. There was a point in my time in stand-up where I was using slander to talk about homophobia. Mm-hmm. And at that point in time, nobody would say anything. It didn't come off offensive. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't a big deal. But today, people are speaking up to the point where they take those words as serious as we take racial slurs,
mm-hmm.
you know? So ultimately, I can't expect you to respect me if I'm saying things that don't respect you. Mm-hmm. And just because I have the title of a comedian doesn't justify the things that I'm doing or that I'm saying, just because we can shoulder shrug it as a joke. In Kathy Griffin's case, what she's doing is a bad judgment of a joke. When that comes, you got to understand social media is a different monster.
Mm-hmm.
Before, people could whisper and talk about what you did, and it wouldn't get to you. But now it's tagged and shared and shared, and by the time you know it, now you in Hong Kong, you in Russia, and people that saw what you did, these things go viral. And that word viral is a virus.
That's it.
Viral is a virus. You know,
and you will be sick.
Yes, you're going to be the backlash from it is going to be serious backlash. Now, you know, Bill Maher. You know, I've seen Bill Maher come to the defense of black people on several occasions. That's a bad judgment. You know, mm-hmm. granted, I don't think Bill Maher is a racist, but that's a bad judgment.
It was just inappropriate.
Yeah,
white people
can't say that.
White
people can't say
that. Like, you should know better.
It's inappropriate and it's not right. So to say that and say it the way you said it, as comfortable as you said it in a joking form, you're wrong. Now, granted, you can issue all the apologies you want, He says it, you know, he says it around
friends. Yeah.
It's not, that's something that he's not going to say anymore. But for you to say it on your platform, that's tacky.
Right.
That's tacky. Like, I would never, on stage, you're not going to hear me go the cracker or the hunky. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it because of the relationships that I have, because of the people that I'm around, because of the platform that I stand on. So I'm conscious of that now. The same thing with any homophobia slander, or the same thing with just attacking political figures or whatever. I'm not going to do it because I know the impact that my words have because of my following, because of my brand. So those people know that.
Right.
Kathy Griffin, Bill Maher, you know that. You know that you got a following. You know that you don't have a little following, that when you say these things, especially if you're saying it on your platform, they're going to be heard. Mm-hmm. So for Bill Maher to say that there, that was tacky.
Bill had
And there, right there, were some clips by several different people who have, spoke about, what's been going on and things like that. Person I had was Martin Lawrence, who spoke on it. But this was actually prior to that. He was just speaking in general of, do comedians cross the line? John Stewart, you heard John Stewart there. Jim Carrey, as well as Kevin Hart, who finished it up there. But I definitely want to get your input on it as well, and let me know what you think. And it's kind of crazy because I don't even know really where I want to even start when it comes to this, because there's so much to say about it. But I've asked some of these I asked this question on Facebook, and some people have given me some feedback, and so I just want to let you know what they've said about it as well. And I had a good friend of mine who does poetry in Nashville, Michael McLendon, who said the word draws the line. The line is not mine to draw. The Holy Spirit should guide. If I'm drawing lines, then I'm probably leading with the art as opposed to the heart. I like that. I like that. My prayer is not to do heart work before artwork. Prayerfully, the art will effortlessly flow as I rest in being the vessel God created me to be. I believe in working on the craft, but I know from my unpublished lyrical leakage that when my heart is ungodly, my art is ungodly. And I think that was well said. I've also had some other people who chimed in and said, when something is said that is offensive to an entire race, black or white, Japanese or Chinese or Mexican, it doesn't matter. And the thing, too, when it comes to poetry as well as comedy, things can be subjective. So where there may be something that was said that may be offensive to me, it may not be offensive to someone else. So when it comes to poetry and comedy, it definitely is and can be subjective. Someone as well, Big Fit said, there's never a line. Long as you ain't in church or sitting with kids, he says, do you. Serum of Truth, also a great friend of mine, she also said, she said, my life as a poet has no line to divide. The truth is only offering. And, when she said that, it reminds me as well that, a lot of times people are not necessarily offended by necessarily how someone said something or what was said. It was the truth in it. And sometimes when we hear the truth, we're compromised within ourselves because we're convicted by what someone said, because, we may be living that way or whatever the case may be. So sometimes I find that poetry, as well as comedy, they speak truth, and with truth comes conviction. And that's what makes people uncomfortable, and it makes people not like or become offended by what someone has said. Jocelyn Simmons, she said, I look at my poetry as a form of art, an expression of self and topics that matter to me. So therefore, I don't believe that there's a line. Now, I'm a line now. So people may say
that there is such a thing as taste or being too tacky. It's all just a matter of opinion to me. You know, again, just being subjective. It could definitely be subjective. There are no line. All is fair. The artist, it's the artist's take. I agree with others. Use tact and the right message for the right crowd. That can definitely be true too, I believe, depending on why do you do poetry or why do you do comedy? Some people do it for different reasons. So depending on why you do it, whether it's spiritual reason, whether it's a secular worldly reason, it may be a different reason why you do things. So you definitely have to know your audience and that sort of thing. And another poet, she says that she doesn't think that there is any subject that is off limits, and there's only a challenge. And to deal with the challenge requires much prayer and critical thinking for the type of poet that she is. Delicacy for touchy subjects as religion, politics, etc., is required. But that doesn't mean it's off limits. And she agreed with Michael McClendon. In the essence, it's all about heart work and not artwork. Our work must be God written. There is a way to address any and everything, and it takes work, such as prayer, research, stillness, complete surrender, and a willingness to do it, that sort of thing. And I like that as well. But, you know, we have to admit, I know some people said, you know, that there isn't a line. And while there may be not necessarily a subject matter that we can't cover as poets and as comedians, I personally think that there has to be a line as far as when it comes to certain things, because although comedy and poetry can be subjective, there are some things that kind of cross the line when it comes to like what Kathy Griffin did. You know, as much as I may not be in favor of our president, I wouldn't do anything like that. Or, you know, even though, you know, many people may have understood what Bill Maher was trying to say, I think most people would agree that that was just totally, totally out of line and shouldn't have been said. So I think these are cases in which, you know, it's evident that there should be a certain line drawn in what you say and, you know, maybe how it's even said, because again, sometimes it's not even what you say, it's how you say it. So this is what we're talking about today. So if you are on the phone lines, man, we're going to get to you next. Or if you are on the phone line and you actually want to spit a piece, or you want to just chime in on the discussion about where do poets and comedians cross the line, make sure that you hit the press the one button. And if you are listening via Facebook or Periscope or anything like that, and you are wanting to chime in, make sure you call the call-in number that's posted on your screen, 646-668-8072. And I found an article that was pretty interesting. A young lady by the name of Nicole Colombo, who wrote this article. Again, Nicole Colombo, who wrote this article in 2015. And the title of this article is, "Can comedy can it cross the line?" And she talks about how, you know, comedy is a touchy subject. Even, you know, even then it was a touchy subject. It's been a touchy subject for many years. And as an activist for equal white rights, a feminist, a person of multiple mental illnesses, and an aspiring teacher with an interest in children with special needs, she also is a comedian as well. And she did a survey on her Facebook page or social media page, and she surveyed about 40 people, and she came up with these different results. And about 65% of the people that she surveyed said that it was okay to joke about race. 7.5% said it wasn't. Mental illness, 45% said it was okay to joke about it, and they had the right to do it if it was done in the right light. and 37.5% said it wasn't. 40% said it wasn't okay, 42% said it wasn't, 27.5% said it wasn't okay to talk about sexual assault. 60% said that it wasn't okay to talk about sexual assault. 27.5% said it was. 50% said it was okay to talk about obesity. 25% said it wasn't. 40% was said it was okay to joke about the Holocaust. 47.5% said it wasn't. 32.5% when it came to 9/11 said that it was okay to talk about it or joke about it. 52.5% said it wasn't. 55% said it is okay to joke about religion. 7.5% said it wasn't. So, you know, some things people were in favor, such as race. People felt like it was okay. Majority of people thought it was okay to talk about race, as well as obesity and religion. Some of the things that people weren't really okay about people joking with was 9/11, sexual assault, and school shootings, that sort of thing. And, you know, I've been in places where I remember this one particular time I was at this comedy show where a comedian got up there and she talked about the incident that happened in Orlando at the gay club. And it was like maybe a week or two after that, and they were trying to joke about it. And, you know, there were some people there who, you know, were LGBTQ community that were really offended. And even people who weren't or were not LGBT were offended about it because of the way that it was presented, and being that it just had happened, it was still fresh, you know. So it was very offensive. And see, when it comes to things like, especially me being a spoken word artist, I understand how poetry, just like comedy, is a release, and it can really spotlight things, you know. And sometimes poetry and comedy, I think, is meant to not make fun of things, but such as how can I say, maybe if somebody did tell a joke about a certain situation, whether it was about cops killing young black unarmed men. And a lot of times when it comes to poetry and when it comes to comedy, people want to shed light on these incidents. So it's not to make necessarily fun of you know, the person that was shot or gunned down, but it's to bring light on, like, why are these things happening, you know. So sometimes sometimes things can be taken the wrong way as well. But we're going to get to the phone lines, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that, as far as how she feels and that sort of thing. But I the bottom line really was, you know, that there has to kind of be a thin line when it comes to certain things, when it comes to comedy and poetry. And I say a very thin line because, I mean, if you just listen to that last clip with what's his name, Kevin Hart, and he talked about what he wouldn't do. And that's what it really again comes down to. It depends on what kind of artist you are and what line that you sit for yourself. Because if you are a prominent artist, such as like Kevin Hart, and you say the wrong things, you may lose out on a lot of things with just trying to be funny and not necessarily even maybe feeling the way that you felt or how you said it. But again, with that being said, that's why I say it's a thin line, because at the same time, it's so important that we don't escape from the truth at the same time. And some of the things that we say in truth may not be popular, but it may be the right thing to say. So we're going to keep things going, man. I don't want to take the whole time talking about how I feel. I definitely want to get some people chimed in at this. So again, make sure that you call in. We're going to go to the first caller on the line with the last four digits of 4910. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi. Yes.
Hey, who am I speaking with?
Kamika Mosby.
Kamika Mosby?
Yes.
Okay. Well, nice to meet you, Miss Mosley, and I appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, so I was calling. I've only called once before, so I didn't really know how it worked. So I was just calling. I was going to share a piece.
Okay. Awesome. Well, okay. Hey, make the mic nice whenever you're ready.
Okay. This is called Where I Always Belong. So many pains I tasted as my life drifted by. So many days I wasted trying to live a lie. So many nights I hollered at the emptiness and pain. So many dreams left floating down filthy sewer drains. So many hopes left lifeless on darkened cement steps. So many demon chains holding, rooting for my death. So many times I prayed to God to please just let me die. No longer wanting to feel worthless to end the pain inside. But God made me for a purpose. He would not let me go. God pulled, he held on tightly, demanding that I grow. Then one day I just stepped out when I heard the altar call. I signed up for God's army, my brokenness and all. All my thoughts, all my fears, all my smallness and empty dullness. I came with all my shame. I hadn't been able to get it right, so I stepped out for my change. I came to God to heal me. I wanted my real peace. I wanted God to cleanse me, to remove every beast, every demon that was holding me. I wanted to get them off, so I came to God not knowing if I'd be saved or lost. I came to God. I needed him, because nothing else had worked. I came to God sincerely, and he started my new birth. The death that I had prayed for didn't take me from this earth. Instead, it created in me a newfound sense of worth. My death came to renew me and prepare me for God's plan. He's always here assuring me I'm strong enough to stand. Trial that finds its way to me is preparing me for his purpose. It's helping me break free. God whispers to me softly, I believe in you. You have a purpose in this life. You've got to press on through. Tamika, dear, I love you. I won't let go of your hand. Through this, you will get stronger. Keep moving. It's my plan. In Psalms 118:17, he reminds me that I've won. I will not die. Instead, I will live to tell what the Lord has done. All my life, I searched around to find where I belonged. And all the time, God was waiting for me to come back home. And that's it.
Wow. I really enjoyed that piece. How long have you been writing?
Since I was a teenager, maybe. Since 9, 10, 12,
yeah,
on and
yeah,
off over
yeah.
the years.
Where do you find your inspiration in writing?
Well, now I just believe like God takes he would take a lot of my pains and I would write out my pains, but then he'd like give me a solution for them, or he'd build me back up in them so I can get that out. My poetry used to be more negative, but now it's like for the negative, there's a positive. So it's like you go through these things and you experience life, but God is there now.
Right.
So my focus is God, and like everything I write now is where's God in this.
Definitely. So let me ask you, do you think that there is a line when it comes to poetry and comedy?
I mean, for me, there is. I mean, people do, you know, everybody expresses themselves in different ways. And mm-hmm. I think poetry and probably comedy as well is like a way to get things out and to get things off your chest. So people are just expressing like what they feel out loud. And
right.
for different people, it's going to come out different ways because of your walk of life or where you're at the time.
Right.
For me, I prefer to be able to uplift and encourage people and not tear anybody down. I mean, I know it's mm-hmm. truth out there and everything, but like you have to early, like sometimes it's the way that you say things, and mm-hmm. you can still build somebody up and still be telling the truth. You can build up.
Right, right. So would you say with growth comes how you go about how you go about perceiving things, or how you say things comes with the growth that you have?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's growth or not, but maybe it is growth. As I've gotten closer with God, my poems they just flow, and mm-hmm. are more positive and encouraging. When I used to write out frustrations, it was bad. But it's not something that I shared either. You know what I mean? It's not something that I shared. So, yeah, a person probably would have to grow. If a person is constantly using their art form to tear people down or to hurt people, they probably could use some room to grow. Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for your insight as well as your poetry. And I definitely hope that you always are able to come through and share your poetry and be a supporter here on Mighty Nice.
And thank you for having the show.
My pleasure. And that right there was Miss Tamika Mosby, who came through and shed light on how she feels about Is There a Line when it comes to poetry and comedy. And she also shared a piece as well. Make sure you call in, man. We still have phone lines that are open. Comedian Rain said that there is no line. All is fair. It's the artist take. I agree with others. Use tact, right message for the right crowd. Taomi Ray says there is no lines. Let all expression flow freely. However, always let a conscious mind open and close every event. I like that. We're going to keep going on with the phone lines. We have another caller with the last four digits of 4789. You're on the air.
How you doing, man?
Doing pretty good. Who am I speaking with tonight?
John Thrash.
What's going on, man?
What's up?
I appreciate you calling in.
Man, you know, I called in the last two times, and I didn't know how to get to it till you said press the one button.
Yeah, got you. good deal, man. So what's your take on it?
Man, my take is I don't think it is a line, but at the same time, if you're gonna ride that line, criticism after that,
yeah,
positive and negative. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's going to, especially social media wise, stuff take off so fast. What me and you might find funny, somebody else might find a whole different way, and it's going to take off to the negative. So, I mean, if you're going to go that way, be prepared for what comes after.
Right.
I mean, that's my take on it. You know, it's difficult. If you ain't prepared to take the bad criticism with the good, then you shouldn't say nothing at all about it.
Yeah. I think that's definitely true. And like you said, you know, because there's, you know, some comedians that I may listen to, whether it's Comedy Central, because, you know, there's different kind of comedy. So the same kind of the comedy that you may listen to on, Comic View,
right,
is not going to be the same kind of comedy that's on Comedy Central.
It's like you saying, like the Chappelle Show, for instance. Let's just take it out there. Some stuff he do with people don't find funny,
you know.
But you know that's him. The same thing with Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart says stuff about his life, about what he went through. So he really not attacking anybody on the end. He's talking about himself and what he's been through in his life.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's pretty much like people attack David Chappelle, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, when he crosses that line, you know, he's prepared for, okay, they're going to come after me for saying this. You know what I'm saying? That was part of the deal why he was on Comedy Central and the problem he had with the people. You know, he didn't want to really do what they wanted to do. He wanted to do his own thing.
Right.
So, you know, you kind of prepare for the best of both worlds. The worst of the worst and the best of the best. So, I mean, you just got to have to just do your thing, I guess.
Yeah. And I like what you said, you know, as far as, you know, you feel like there isn't a line. However, be ready for the backlash as well as people, the people that will support you at the same time. And
exactly. It's like you were saying about the girl with the Trump head, with the blood on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Some folks understood the message. You know, some folks was like, okay. Some folks were taking that forever. You know what I'm saying? Then you got some people who just did not find that funny at all.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, you just got to kind of – she meant it one way, and when it hit social media, it was a wrap.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That was it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Right. But, you know, I also think, too, as far as, you know, when it comes to certain situations or certain issues and topics, I think it's important for people such as poets or comedians to – sometimes cross that line when it comes to certain things to maybe bring about some change or to kind of shed light on certain topics too. What do you think?
Right. And I agree with that. It's like in this day and time, who has the bigger voice? It's going to be people in the spotlight, comedians, athletes, people like that. It's who has the bigger voice. I mean, you have a radio show, and people listen, and it's getting out there, you know what I'm saying? But as far as who you going to see on SportsCenter, who you going to see on CNN, who you going to see on Fox 6, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be that athlete or that comedian, that person in the spotlight, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and these kids these days, most kids go with the rapper or the athlete, you know what I'm saying? So if the athlete out there drinking and driving, and he doing dirt, and he talking down on this person, that person, that kid is going to go to school or wherever he hang out with his friends and say, hey, guess what LeBron James said? Guess what so-and-so said? Guess what Kevin Hart said? You know, even though you might have told him the 2 days before something positive, he ain't going to go with that. But if LeBron James said what you said, he going to say, dang, Trey said the same thing.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Right.
So, it's kind of just like, and that's the thing now. The thing ain't, I mean, you got good role models, good people who are doing good things. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you have that one person who that kid really looks up to, no matter who it is, you know what I'm saying? He's going to, or she's going to take his word as gold.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's the thing now. Even though we got a lot of positive role models that says the right thing, try to lead the right way, you take that one person who that kid really looks up to, or that person really looks up to take them the other way. And it's hard to say that, but that's reality now. That's fact, you know. So people got to be real cautious about what they do and what they say. Because now, these days, it's a lot easier to get the negative out there than the positive.
Oh, man, yeah. Oh, yeah. It spread like crazy. Like.
Oh, yeah,
You know, and I was thinking that because, you know, as like, you know, because nobody has really paid attention to Kathy Griffin since I don't know how long.
Right. When? I didn't hear about her until that happened.
Yeah. But how many days have we constantly heard about it in the news and things like that? And I was thinking about, you know, when Chance the Rapper, when he gave his own $1 million and raised $2.2 million for it. Schools in Chicago, you didn't really hear anything about it.
You heard about it for like a half a day.
Yeah.
And then it disappeared. But this lady went from nobody knew nothing about her to what is she, probably like the top five Twitter person, and everybody trying to friend and find out more about her and this, that, and the other. I mean, it takes something negative for her to get the spotlight.
Right.
You said, like Chance the Rapper. Chance the Rapper has did all kind of positive things. You know what I'm saying? But if he did one thing negative, you would hear about that more than anything positive he ever done.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just how it's going to work. And it's bad the world is like that, but that's the world we live in right now. Everybody looks for something negative or something positive on people.
Yeah.
And that's really bad.
You're right. It is, man. But man, I definitely appreciate you coming through and chiming in with me, and definitely hope to have you back on here as well, man.
Oh yeah, man, appreciate it. Yeah. Doing a good job with the show, man. Oh my God, man. Look.
Yeah.
You talking about this NBA championship thing?
Yeah.
Man, look, Cleveland got to win too.
Yeah.
If they don't win these next two, they in trouble.
Yeah, I think so too, man. Me personally, I think the Warriors are gonna take it in at least five. If they don't sweep them, I think they're gonna take it in five.
Man, Durant looking unstoppable right now.
Yeah,
they can't do nothing with Durant. Man. Durant is balling.
Yeah. Man, I appreciate that, man. I just wanted to chime in and ask you about that too. I know you're a sports head like me too, so definitely ask you that before you get out, man. But again, I definitely appreciate your support, man.
All right, man. Thanks, man.
That right there again was John Thrash coming through and shedding light on his opinion as far as is there a line when it comes to poetry and comedy as far as the material that you cover or what's said and things like that. We still have phone lines open again. Make sure you call in. Definitely, man, I'm enjoying this show. We have 43 minutes left in tonight's show. And if this is your first time listening in, we're here every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. We broadcast on Facebook Live, Periscope as well as blogtalkradio.com/MikeNice. And if you want to catch us streaming, just look up Lyrical Forte again on Facebook or Periscope. And we also have an interactive chat on blogtalkradio.com where you can chime in as well. And I appreciate everyone who's listening in. Shout out to Mr. Vincent Jones and Miss Loretta Jones as well for listening in, chiming in. Shout out to Miss Kanisha Wilson as well for listening in as well. Everybody who has shared the video, definitely appreciate it. But again, every Tuesday we'll have different discussions, as well as if you are an artist, comedian, whatever, business owner, and you're looking to get out there, definitely hit me up on the line. You can hit me up on any of my social media or my Facebook page at just look up Lyrical Forte. My email, lyricalforte@live.com. I also have a website, lyricalforte.com. And again, I appreciate each and every one of you tuning in. And again, where is the line when it comes to comedy and poetry? And we've had a lot of people that said there isn't a line. And again, it's subjective, man. You know, there may be some things that one person may not be comfortable talking about, but there may be someone else who is. So definitely what I've gotten out of tonight is really subjective, depending on what you're willing to say and things like that, and what your status may be when it comes to certain things. And are you ready for the backlash or things like that? But we're going to keep things going here on Mike Nice. We have another caller. I am so glad to have her back here on Mike Nice, and definitely looking forward to hearing what she's going to lay down tonight. The Serum of Truth. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Lyrical Forte.
What's going on? Good.
Everything is going on.
What's happening with you?
This weekend, Friday, at Club Empire, Truth and Jazz. I am the truth in the Truth and Jazz.
Hey.
Y'all come out at 8:00.
That's what's up. And you said Pure?
Club Empire.
Club Empire.
In Welburn, Alabama. It's really not that
Alabama.
Far. Right. It's in Welburn.
Okay, cool. Well, make sure I know you tagged me in it before. Tag me in it again so we can push that out there for you as well.
I will definitely do that. And, you know, I talked to my little boss at Laughathon Entertainment. He wants you to come down. And I'm going to have to try, but he's a busy brother.
I'm gonna get down there. And it may be even possibly this Friday. Because I definitely want to come and support you as well.
Absolutely, and thank you. I appreciate the support. What a lovely topic you have tonight.
Yeah. Well, you got to tell me how I know you told me on Facebook, but tell me more, elaborate more on it for me.
I am a firm believer that there is a time and place for everything. Mm-hmm. Now, mm-hmm. as a poet, I deal in truth. So that means
yeah.
truth always has a time and a place.
Right.
I don't degrade people. I don't attack mm-hmm. people. If you're feeling some type of way when I get through, check yourself. That's all I ask. If you're feeling
right.
some type of way, check yourself. Because I'm not trying
man.
To hurt. I'm trying to educate and uplift, open your eyes, you know, trying to get you to stop wasting your life, man.
Yeah. You said something there, and I said something earlier about sometimes it's not necessarily the joke in itself, but sometimes some people can be convicted because, like you said, maybe they need to check themselves. Maybe it's something going on within themselves that they're not happy about or offended by.
Really, absolutely. I love a good joke. I love comedians. And it's some stuff that I've heard that I was like, oh, my goodness, but I still giggled, you see.
Yeah.
Because it was the truth of the matter. It was the truth
right.
of the matter that made me giggle.
I got you. Definitely. I was thinking that the other day. I was talking to someone when I was thinking about doing this topic was you know, there are times where someone may say something that may, you know, may even be offensive, but like you said, the truth of the matter is it was true, and so it kind of made you kind of laugh in a way.
Right, and there's nothing wrong with laughing. If we didn't laugh about some of this crazy stuff, we would be crying.
Man,
you have
right,
to laugh every
right.
now and then.
Yeah,
you know, but
definitely.
I do believe if you are those officials and you're on TV and you're in front of a very wide demographic, you have to be careful in the way you slide that thing in there, but you can still slide
yeah.
that thing in there.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Wouldn't you say, I think it's very important for artists such as ourselves and comedians to cross that line sometimes, to bring about change or bring a spotlight to things that people don't like to talk about.
Absolutely. I mean, what are you paying your money for to go see them? For a knock-knock joke?
Yeah. Right. Definitely. Well said. I know you're going to make the mic even nicer for us tonight, right?
I am, and it's kind of on the topic.
Okay.
I just wrote it. It's fresh.
That's what's up. Okay.
It does not have a title yet.
Okay.
So I'm just going to hop into it, okay?
Cool deal. All right.
And before I even get started, for those of y'all that are sensitive, you need to know that I am the Serum of Truth, and this is what I do.
Hey.
It's really all about the things you can't avoid and have to handle. The town is too freaking small, and that's how we got the $40 scandal. Motel 6 leaves the light on for you, but you'd rather do things that cannot be viewed by the light of a candle. It's really all about the things that are crooked and crazy to deal with. The church faking in front and people trying to prostitute the gift. Couples ain't couples for real, just baby after baby making a risk. Daddy's dodging child support and mommy's taking another shift. Friends ain't friends, turn on you to set up and give your cap a lift. It's really all about the jive and at all costs trying to deny the fact that after all these years y'all been screwing, when you need help, send a text and gets no reply. The fact after all this time, us black folks still considered a joke and never been off the chopping block, no lie. The fact friends and fam say they support you and never show their face in the place. Really jealous because you're shooting for the sky. Tell you it's not going anywhere and they the type that don't even try. It's really all about the lack of love and the treachery. Testing my Holy Spirit. Keeping up drama, trying to get the best of me. Interrupting my program with Trump done it again. Breaking news, y'all know how much Comcast TV. Breaking my heart because stuff done went too far. Can't watch anything as a family. got to explain why he is a she and she is a he, why he got 24 wives and little midgets got beef. I mean, it's really all about more than this. I mean, I didn't even mention the cops. Many hate my truth. Most wanted to stop, but I'm not. I keep it coming, even while frying pork chops. I'm jotting my thoughts down, and my husband says that this is their heat rock. That's my piece for tonight.
Snaps.
This was
and no lie, I was really frying pork chop while I was writing that thing.
This was hot and fresh off the press, huh?
Fresh off the press.
Still dripping with grease, huh?
Right.
Thank you so much for just being you and always coming with truth, no matter where you're at, no matter you know what the audience may be, just coming through and just shedding light on different things. Like we really need that, and I appreciate it.
Absolutely, thank you for having me in this great topic where I could just write down these random thoughts that was running through my head.
And tell us again about Friday.
Yes, Friday at Club Empire in Welburn, Alabama, 8:00 is Truth and Jazz Night. Y'all come out. It's gonna be me and the band. Who doesn't want truth and some music?
Right.
Come on
right.
Now.
Thank you so much again, and definitely looking forward to more great things coming from the Serum of Truth.
Absolutely, and I won't miss any more Tuesdays.
Got you. We understand.
Okay. Love you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Love you, too. And that right there was the Serum of Truth coming through and blazing the mic as she always does. And we've had some great people to come through here on Mic Night, man. I'm telling you, I'm so excited right now, so ecstatic as we move forward with the Mic Nights with some great discussions here and just some great people chiming in. And this is what it's all about, is just conversating, you know, conversing. And, you know, talking about different things and being okay with this person having their opinion and that person having their opinion. Because if you just stay in the same group all the time with like-minded individuals, you won't change. You won't change. And so, you know, I'll definitely appreciate everybody's opinion who has come through here on Mic Nights. And again, if you would like to blaze the mic, make sure you do so. Call in. The call-in number is 646-668-8072, and whenever you're ready, press the 1Q. And I'll break this down to how it goes. Once you call in the call-in number, there's an operator that will say, if you would like to speak with the host, press the 1Q. And once you press the 1Q, I will be notified that you're on the line and you actually want to come on air and either share a piece or chime in on the discussion or do both. And you can always, if you're not near your computer or anything like that, you can, or you don't want to stream the video because your data is low, you can always just call in just to listen to the show. So you can always save our number in your phone and say, hey, you know, it's a Tuesday, I want to listen to the show, I'm not going to be near a computer then. All you have to do is call in and, hey, we'll be here again every Tuesday. And even young people, if you have some young people who like to write poetry, I want to do some things with them as well every month, where maybe we have a you know, Young People's Tuesday, and we shed light on different things that they want to talk about or issues that they're going through and things like that. But even if you have any idea, if you are wanting to, matter of fact, even if you want to be a guest co-host, let me know that as well, because I just want to be able to network with people and give people different opportunities and things like that here on Mic Nights as well. But we're going to keep things going. We have another caller with the last four digits of 8217. You're on the air.
How you doing, Mr. Lurker? Before I say this, the poetic poet, the gentleman born once again, sir.
What's going on, man?
Taking it easy as always, man. it's kind of hard and difficult to come out and say my truth, my buddy, man, because she draws right, some people right then, brother.
Yeah, always,
it's
man,
always, man. It's always an honor to come out and so much talent. And this discussion, the topic you're discussing tonight, of course, man, is very interesting, man. But it's before I get into my little small piece on something I did last year at a past anniversary. I, of course, invited the Sermon Truth to be a part of the next First Saturday here in Gadsden, man. And of course, she's already Southern. So if anybody in the area or locally or there, of course, July 1st is the next First Saturday, which this past Saturday was a great success, man. Miss Antoinette Warren, Mr. Warren here, definitely brought some real knowledge to the crowd on this past Saturday, man. And plus, I will always give another shout out to you, of course, for breaking and designing the shirt for me, man. Everybody was definitely digging it, man.
Yeah. Cool deal, man. Well, kudos to you, man, for your involvement and your leadership in making sure that, you know, change comes about and, you know, just being vocal on different issues as well as making, you know, First Saturday something where people can really be involved with and enjoy at the same time.
You know, all the credit goes, of course, to the Carver Community Revitalization Committee, man. They go on their 10th anniversary, man. We're hoping to keep this going for generations, for years to come, man. But it's going to take the youth, man. And since the fact they're doing the spoken word now, man, everybody's definitely getting a part of it. It's attracting different age categories now, man, which we're trying to do. Our main focus is the youth. But if we also get in touch with the older generation, of course, man, they're also welcome to come out and also, man. But this last August, I was invited to do my pastor's anniversary, do a short piece. But you were saying about the line between coming in poetry, man. Like he was all I have to always agree, of course, man. It's very suggestive because you got to be very easy nowadays. But what you discuss on stage and in public anywhere, at your job place or around family and friends, man. But sometimes if you know you're around a certain crowd, man, you know, some of y'all still fixing their ways from different generations to go up to this generation. But I was at a church, of course, yeah, doing this piece called The Extraordinary Preacher. Now, mind you, that's one of the most segregated places in, sadly, in America is the church, the Sunday mornings. You got families, yeah, of course, going to different churches. Even, you know, might be going to Methodist church or going to Baptist church or a Catholic church. But sadly, but, you know, I had to be very mindful of what I was speaking on. But he's my pastor, and I know him outside of being the church. He's a down-earth pastor, the pastor of Greg E. Robinson, Jr. And, Miss Dottie Peoples, who's a well-known gospel singer, was there, of course. So it's like, I'll be trying to be humble-minded. But I noticed what I opened up with, I'll just give you the first, this two, just let you know, rock the mic tonight, of course, is two little small pieces of beginning of the first and second paragraph. It's entitled, "An Extraordinary Preacher." Now, mind you, now I had to be very careful not to laugh, of course, what I was saying, to be serious. But when the crowd laughs back at you, sometimes you have to get, you break yeah out of your mood. Of course, man. But,
right.
I know a preacher who is both kind-hearted and down to earth. He also owns a successful business that has Cadillac limousines and a hearse. Now, mind you, my pastor is the owner of West Gas Inferno Home. Now, the look on his face, man, was priceless. Because, you know, he was expecting, of course, kind of, but he was so cool. You know, he was like, God. And then the second verse of the second paragraph begins with, "He stays sharp in his three-piece suits. He also has a pair of Stacey Adams shoes, which at one time I thought were actually a pair of boots." Now, mind you, my pastor wears, you know, most ministers, you know, wear the fancy shoes, but at one time, I didn't know no better, not being in this business. I thought my preacher had on boots in the pulpit one Sunday, and I made a joke. I said that would be something nice to put in one of my pieces. But it went well because, you know, you got to be also mindful of what you're speaking on in every place, but you got to also bring knowledge and positivity wherever you go and speak it, like the Sermon Truth just said and what she just said also. You got to be very mindful about, you know, crossing the line between poetry and comedy, man. But nowadays, most comedians and on the screen now doing a little, you know what I'm saying, they touching on subjects, man, even poets. One guy, Philando Taylor, of course, man, from out of Anderson, I've seen him perform. He has some comedy intertwined in his poetry, man, but it's all about the atmosphere, man, the vibe you may be getting from your crowd you might be performing in and everything, so man. But it's definitely an interesting topic, man. I'm so glad that you brought this topic up, brother.
I appreciate that. Thank you for chiming in.
No problem, man. Anytime, brother.
And hey, keep doing what you do, man.
Always, man. Have a good, blessed night, man.
You too. And that right there was the poetic flow rider coming through and blazing the mic, as well as sharing his pieces, as well as his chiming in on the discussion for tonight. We still have about 20 minutes left. So if you'd like to come through and blaze the mic or make the mic nice, chime in on the discussion, we would definitely welcome you to having you up on here. And again, thank you so much for having this, for coming through and shedding light. Everyone who has come through, thank you so much for doing so. Patrina Goosby, she is a consistent Mike Nice listener. She's listening in tonight as well. And she says, good topic and very controversial. I like Ms. Mosley's poem, Relatable. I believe that there is a line not to cross in comedy, like rape, murder, et cetera, stuff you mentioned. It's about the way it's said. Like if someone uses a specific killing of someone in real life and joke, it's not cool for me. For example, like the Orlando or school shootings, that's insensitive. As far as poets, writers sharing how they feel about a topic, can't always have a line drawn. Everyone's feelings should be valid. Agreed to disagree. Sorry. Okay. Yeah. Agreed to disagree. And that's true. You know, sometimes things need to be said, and you know, we say here on Mike Nice, no vulgar or offensive language. And most of the time that for me, that means like, you know, like I don't want any like people, you know, just like cursing and, you know, using foul language, I would say, you know, foul language and things like that, or, you know, any racist jokes, things like that, you know, because again, where there may be a radio show where you can do that type of stuff, that's just not the type of atmosphere or the type of platform that I want to set up. And for me personally, I have some lines that I draw for myself and things like that, because I can remember a time when I first started doing poetry, and someone told me, they were like, you gotta get you a bragging piece. You got a bragging piece? And, you know, I told them that I didn't, because I didn't write about stuff like that, you know. And they was like, man, you gotta get you a bragging piece. And so I actually contemplated it, you know, like, okay, you know, if this is whatever, you know, if everybody else that's a poet has a bragging piece, then I guess I need one. And I just really thought about it, and it wasn't me. You know, that wasn't me, and that's not the type of atmosphere that I wanted to set up for myself or anyone else. And so, needless to say, I never wrote it, and that right there was a pivotal moment for me, because I continued to stay consistent in the things that I said, the things that I did, and the things that I was a part of. And so I would say the same thing for you as well. You know, it just really depends on what you want to do with the things that you want to accomplish. And, you know, when you decide to cross that line, as far as when it comes to what somebody else may think, as far as crossing the line, just be mindful of the things that you say, the things that you do, and how it can backfire. You know, now you may not have a big platform, but you don't want to develop a big flat platform and later, you know, it really comes back to hurt you. So again, you know, just be mindful of where you're at and the things that you say and the things that you do. And again, you know, tonight has definitely been a great discussion, and I have again enjoyed everybody's input, everybody's you know, two cents, I guess you can say. And really appreciate it. Really do appreciate it. And if you have a topic for next week that you would like to discuss, then hit me up. Let me know, and we'll see if even if we can't do it next week, maybe the week after, something like that. Man, we want to. I want to get everybody's, you know, opinions and things like that on different matter. And you know, let me know some things, some important things and topics that need to be addressed so we can do so and we can do our part, you know, collectively to get people together and things like that. But, man, again, I enjoyed tonight, man. I am definitely excited about Mike Nice to come, but we've gained a new listener tonight and some other people who've tuned in tonight as well that, you know, just listening to the show and that sort of thing. So, again, I appreciate it so, so much. We have about 15 minutes left in the show, so if you would like to make the mic nice, you still have opportunity to do so. But I'm going to play a piece right now, and if you would like to come through, hey, definitely, you definitely have the opportunity to do so. That call-in number is posted on your screen. And, hey, we'll be right back.
Please welcome friend of the show, Prentice Powell.
Arsenio, I'm tired of us always having to prove our love to our sons. One of the biggest compliments I get a lot of times is how great of a father I am. You see pictures on the internet. People compliment you a lot because they see photos. And honestly, sometimes I want to tell people, don't tell me I'm a good father when you don't know anything about me. Fun-loving daddy and son pictures on a Facebook page do not equate to instilling values into your child's development. And the fact that I'm black should be irrelevant when it comes to my ability to raise my son. My skin tone should not make me any better or worse when it comes to the paternal instinct. But because fathers like me are apparently extinct, I get extra praise. And for what? For doing what I'm supposed to do. From strangers. Strangers who don't know, when my son was born, I only got him from 12 noon on Saturdays to 5 p.m. on Sundays, went to the court to get more time, came back with 12 noon on Saturdays to 5 p.m. on Sundays, plus child support, fought for a year, had him for a year and a half, if not more, had him 50% of the time, if not more, only to lose him when he started school to summertime and rotating holidays. So when you see me in the streets with my little one and want to say, it's so good seeing the father doing his job, spending that quality time, don't, because I am being robbed. Robbed of the greatest gift. Forced to live through pictures on an iPhone to recognize the touch of my lips more than they do my fingertips. And the smell of his lotion every day I rub into my skin, so when I smell myself, I think of him. Forced to live through memories that occur within the span of 1 week. Through occasional webcam chats with a child too young to speak back, so when he reaches for you through that camera, all you can say is, son, I miss you too. Or watching your son learn how to ride a bike via Skype at the hands of another man, and even though he is a good man and you are glad he's around, that man is not you. And not letting his mother know that all this is getting to you, so you get up to grab some tissue, because at all times, that distance of 3,117.4 miles can feel more like 3 million. Try dropping your son up at the airport with 3 teeth in his mouth, go 4 weeks without him, watch him come back with 5, and see if you don't beat yourself up for not being around during that time. So don't tell me I'm a good father when you don't know anything about me. Try to convince a person that knows nothing about you that you are simply worthy of time. See, thousands of people inspired by your story but still feel that you are getting nowhere. Have people motivated by the pain that sits right here every day inside of your chest, and that same pain being a reflection of the amount of love that you possess. I want you to imagine your newborn baby sleep. You're watching him. Try to get his sleep patterns down pat, praying to God you get it right, because you have one night and have to go 6 days until you get him back. Imagine being able to fly through this world doing what you love to do, but because of a court order, your son before the age of 1 has to fly twice a month, which may mean by the age of 2, he'll have more frequent fly miles than you. Try never spending a day in your life locked up in prison and still watch your child grow up primarily through photos. Learn about his milestones via text message or Facebook and see if you don't feel numb. So how can I smile when people tell me I'm such a good father when I feel like I'm not given enough time to actually be one? Raise your son without feeling like you're actually raising him. And I know everything in this world doesn't go the way we plan. I can accept that. All that's fine. I just don't understand how a man can be forced to pay half of daycare, half of medical expenses, food, clothes, water, but the same man that laid down to create that child is not automatically given half of the time. Something about that situation is not right. And when I'm done with this poem, I mean this. I don't care if any of you clap. I just want my praise, my kudos, my air, my earth, my water, my drive, my moon, my sun, my baby, my motivation, my son. I just want my chance. I just want my son justice for his pal. I want my baby back. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Princess Powell.
You're listening to Mike Nice, hosted by Lyrical Forte. You're listening to Mike Nice, hosted by Lyrical Forte.
Join us every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com/Mike Nice. Catch us streaming on Facebook Live and Periscope. Just look up Lyrical Forte. You can also call in to just listen, make the mic nice, or get in on the discussion. Please, no vulgar or offensive language. Thank you. Would you like to be a guest host? Are you looking for exposure? A promo? Send your inquiry to lyricalforte@live.com.
You're listening to Mike Nice, hosted by Lyrical Forte.
Language. Thank you.
You're listening to Mike Nice, hosted by Lyrical Forte. You're listening to Mike Nice, hosted by Lyrical Forte.
Man, we're in some hard times right now. This piece right here is called Days of Rodney King. Check me out on this, though. I'm at a point in my life where all I want is peace, but the drama seems to continue, so I guess beef is on the menu. Born in this thug living, visiting jails, always told I've been delinquent, so I had to figure a way out the game. Became a boss without serving crack cocaine, a shot caller but never been detained. Victory sustained. Learn how to operate guns, burn years after I turned one. So I took the strength to stay out the holding tank. Almost every man I knew had bank and had rank and kept a gun to regulate its supply. But now, we're living in the days of Rodney King. My law enforcement feels it's okay to beat black human beings. Civilians recording wrong things on camera, so they can't cover up the scandals. Following standard procedures, a lost art. Officers studying the practice of mixed martial arts. The normal response is, the victim played their part in the battle with the sharks, the hyper patrolling the parks, real chokehold arm bars and taser scars, and arrest by video takes. Officers of the law is always trying to hide their brutality. Man, black beatings of the streets is a normality. We're living in the days of Rodney King, where law enforcement thinks it's okay to mistreat black human beings. Using fists and billy club, let them swing. Cameras recorded, so on the top rank, the officials can't ignore it. Leaves a no chance for exploring. What justifies the beatings? Seems barely songs of the claim in the Klan rally in the meetings. In prison, jails, and streets, things are the same. Blacks being beat or shot in the back while being chased like a rat. They supposed to be following standard procedures, but they keep putting him in a chokehold and gave him seizures. There's no reason for the felony to stop. He was killed by overly aggressive cops. They packed him out and watched him drop. No feelings, no uniform deputy cared. He screamed, I can't breathe, gasping for air. They pounced on him, while others bounced on him. Deputies feel they can license to kill any black man who fronts them and won't chill. It's just us against us. What we gonna argue up against us, against us? We gotta come together while teens in the rush to die. We live in the days of Rodney King. We live in the days of Rodney King. A law enforcement feels it's okay to kill and leave black human beings. In the days of Rodney King.
Thank y'all again for another great Thursday here on Mike Nice, and look, definitely look forward to having you back here again on next Tuesday. Again, we're here every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time right here on blogtalkradio.com/Mike Nice. And as always, I want to leave you with a quote. The world is a tragedy to those who feel, but a comedy to those who think. Thank you, and we'll see you on the radio. And remember that he paid it all.
Unselfishly died on Calvary. Oh, how you gave your life for me. Bruised, scorned, crowned your head with thorns. No greater love performed for me. Nailed in your hands, nailed in your feet. Pierced in your side, could barely breathe. Could have came down, yet you remain standing in awe of the price you paid. I never knew of a love so true.
You gave your life, and still I heard you. Lost so many times, to find you again.
But I
for my sins.
You played it all up on the cross. You bled and died, 'cause I was lost. So here I am, surrendering all. Lord, hear my cry. On my knees I fall. You paid it all. Oh, oh, you paid it all. Oh. In exchange for the blood you shed for my sins.
Mike Nice, hosted by Lyrical Forte. You're listening to Mike Nice, hosted by Lyrical Forte.
Join us every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com/Mike Nice. Catch us streaming on Facebook Live and Periscope. Just look up Lyrical Forte. You can also call in to just listen, make the mic nice, or get in on the discussion. Please, no vulgar or offensive language. Thank you.
Would you like to be a guest host? Are you looking for exposure, a promo? Send your inquiry to lyricalforte@live.com.